Good morning, Westeros!
And welcome to our Morning Throaters podcast.
I'm Nelson.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Kyle.
And we're the fucking Morning Throaters.
And welcome back to another episode of your favorite Song of Ice and Fire podcast. We are your Morning Throaters with Sansa 3 on deck. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Two bangers in a row, I feel like. Kyle, thoughts?
This one was like super anxious the whole time, man.
It was sad, but a good chapter.
Well, it was like kind of like watching, like when you watch those videos, those big giant boats coming in and like too close to land, and you're like, it's going to hit the land. And there's nothing you can do,
too late,
right?
To
like,
stop it, exactly.
Yeah, and it's like it's going to hit, and you're like watching it move like 2 miles an hour, and it's like full reverse. And
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But thankfully, it didn't end with that, right? Like, but it was like, man, this is going to be disgusting. And then you have to think about that the whole time, the rest of the time, with anytime you read about Tyrion or mainly Sansa, right? Yeah. Like, poor Sansa.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrion doesn't have it great either, though.
Yeah, and it's not even, it's just so forced and it's just like hard to like mentally be okay with that.
It's weird, yeah. Because the thing that I think is like conflicting about the chapter is like, we like both these characters. We like Sansa and we like Tyrion, but they're the ones
we don't actually even love Sansa all the time, right? Like, she does kind of complain a lot, really. And I know Jeff isn't a huge fan, but
we don't want we don't want her to be unhappy and stuff like
that. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm saying, though. Is like, even through all that, it was still kind of like, oh man, this is awful.
My point is, we like both the characters, but they're the ones that are kind of like making each other unhappy, and not like they're not like trying to make each other unhappy, but they're the direct cause of each other's unhappiness. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Sansa refuses to kneel. Sansa like straight up just like kind of insults him at the very end. He's like last thing she ever wanted. I just think it's funny that like we like them both, and it kind of makes us hate each of them at different moments throughout the chapter as well.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those chapters where like I look back and like this time reading it, I'm not spoiled, so like I kind of know exactly how it's gonna go, type of thing.
Yep.
So it was more cringy for me just to hear like some of the ways it was written
towards
about
the end,
no, even in the like the I don't know, the whole thing's kind of cringy.
So the one thing I'll say getting into the beginning, Kyle's right. Kyle did predict that, like, the in the last hearing chapter, find out about the wedding, Kyle went back and was like, you know what, this is probably what the dress was for. And then it kind of all
I mean yeah here. That's not you say I'm right, but that was like I had gotten 90% of the
answer. I'm trying to think of what Kyle said after the Sansa one.
I don't remember what she was getting a dress for there, but definitely wasn't her own wedding.
Yeah,
it was.
Well, what she was told was it was for her to wear to Joffrey's wedding. That's what everyone was telling her.
Well, I mean, Tywin tells Tyrion, "You're marrying Sansa, right?"
Was what I'm saying, pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
And that's when Kyle was like, "Oh, you know what? That's what the dress was."
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Obviously,
a lot of people just wouldn't think about it, though.
I mean, it's kind of strange that she doesn't really understand that it's her wedding dress when she's in all white until Cersei tells her.
It's one of the things
getting married today.
I don't actually know if like the all white is a wedding thing in Westeros, or if it's that just their colors, right? Because at least the maiden cloak part of it is meant to be her house colors, which is why that is white and gray. But her gown is like ivory and silver, which is also like kind of white, just like gray. Fancy writing gray.
It's very wedding dress.
Yeah, it is, but it's also very white and gray. So like maybe if it was like Margaery getting married, maybe like when we get to that wedding, we'll see. Maybe she'll be dressed in like green and yellow.
Do you know? Are you putting off?
I actually don't know off the top of my head right now.
Is that your prediction? You heard it here. Nelson made his first prediction.
I don't know, but I do think
Nelson the seamstress.
I think George did it on purpose because we know that wedding dresses in our society are white. So like, either way, it works, right? Like,
yeah, I'm trying to think of the weddings we saw on the show. I don't know if they were all, but it's neither here nor there. That's all good. All right, so we get into Sansa getting ready and. Yep. I mean, they're going to town on her. Hot scrub.
Yeah, Cersei's own handmaid's taking care of her. Cersei's own perfume.
Got some nice curls going.
She gets the perfume dabbed on her nipples. I think this happened to Dany before her wedding, too. Before her wedding, too.
Is that a thing? That's not a thing, right?
Maybe on the wedding night?
I think we can confirm that George is a boob guy, for sure.
Yeah, I think he talks about breasts more than bottoms.
Pinching nips.
A lot of boob groping.
Yeah, I mean, Joffrey does it
probably
later.
Right. Yeah.
Perfuming nipples, like why?
And there's also just like no hints of butts either.
Yeah, like no one's ever had like a cool butt.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> But this, the other thing that Sansa mentions when she's actually getting the dress on is it's like a lady's dress, right? So probably more of a lady's dress than she's ever had. It's cut low, deep
long,
V.
Long V down to her navel.
Yeah, got some lace over it, but yeah, deep V.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's not just like.
And here she's first getting it dress, like getting it put on, she's like, I'm so excited for Willis to see me in this, right? She's still thinking Willis marriage, which is just like, oh, it hits her
How
hard.
Does Cersei know, though, is the question.
Well, I think it's a little bit ahead. Eventually she says gargoyle. She's like, oh, hey, you have to marry that gargoyle. And Cersei thinks.
Like, what do you mean? He's not a gargoyle.
No, she thinks she's talking about Willis because Willis is crippled.
I'm saying from Sansa's point of view. Like,
no, Sansa thinks. Gargoyle, you could maybe say Gargoyle got a cripple, right? Because Willis is crippled.
Yeah. I thought she was making fun of him.
No, I am agreeing with you that she thought Cersei was talking about Willis.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of saying it in her point of view. Like, why are you talking about Willis?
Yeah.
She's talking about Willis. But yeah.
She has to wear a necklace that Joffrey gave her. I don't actually remember Joffrey ever giving her these moonstones, but I feel like it's something that was probably mentioned if it was like being called out like this. But I don't actually remember it.
If I would take a guess, it's probably in that time period when they got to King's Landing, when he was like being mean to her, and then he just kind of like randomly stopped being mean to her.
Yeah, it was being nice. They kind of had like the fight on the King's Road, but then like, yeah, when they had the Hands tournament, he's like super nice to her there. But yeah.
But I mean, she seems to like the look of it all.
I mean, how could you not, right? Like, this is literally the fanciest shit in town, right? Like, she's got the number one
seamstress,
stylist. Yeah, the number one girl's
perfume.
Yeah. Yeah, like she is getting decked out.
Yeah.
And to Jeff's point, when she's wondering how Cersei knew about Willis, she's thinking like the only people who knew were Margaery, Lady Olenna, and Dantos, but Dantos doesn't count. And then like this is where Sansa starts putting it together because Cersei calls for the cloak, right? Mm-hmm. And then this is where Sansa realizes like, oh shit, this is a wedding. Like,
wait, what the fuck? Why is my maiden's cloak here?
Yeah. And Cersei tells her that she's prettier with her mouth closed, so this must just be like Sansa's literally just like, jaw dropped
like, as she's
realizing. Yeah.
Which I didn't even figure. Well, I mean, I knew. But
And so she's like, let's go. There's a septon and wedding guest waiting. And Santa, she's like, no. I'm not going to do it. And Santa, like, she's kind of in denial. Like, you can't make me. And so she's like, fuck, we can. Like, yeah, we can.
You belong to us right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
The saddest part is she's like an orphan and like a ward of the state. And she's like, we're actually going to do whatever we want with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then she's like, damn, I really should have paid attention to Dantos. Like, I am screwed here.
All he wants my claim.
I should have stuck with that plan.
Yep. And this is where she finds out it's Tyrion.
Yeah.
You're going to marry Tyrion. And then, right where you said, she's talking about Dantos. And she's like, I'm not going to do it. You can't. And Cersei's like, we're going to carry you and make you do it. Like, and you're just going to embarrass yourself if you do it that way. And then she opens the door, and we got Meryn Trant and Osmond waiting for her, like, and Cersei's like, make sure she gets to the Sept and carry her if you have to, but try not to rip my fancy dress.
Osmond makes her feel a little bit better about herself, or just like, and I don't know if he meant to, but like him saying like, aren't wolves supposed to be brave? Like she probably got a little voice in her head like, yo, straighten up, soldier type thing from her, like her dad, or even like Septon. She brings up the Septa later, how she.
You're right. Here she's like, I'm a Stark. I can be brave.
I'm a Stark. Like I am a wolf. Like.
Yeah,
let's go.
But you're right. I think it does say that Osmond like said it to her kindly. Like he was, I took it as a him being.
He
nice.
Like brushed her kindly,
touched her gently.
Like,
yeah,
touched her gently. Yeah, so that she does walk cool, and Joffrey meets her along the way because he's playing daddy this day.
Yeah,
what a dick, man.
The worst.
He is a dick. He's the worst.
And he's like, hey, guess what? Just because you're marrying him, I'm still gonna bang you.
Yeah, and that is crazy. Right? I didn't remember him being as illicit in the book about like. No, actually, you're still going to be mine. Like, I'm going to take you whenever I want.
Well, and he's like, I could give you to anybody I want here, too. Like, it could get worse than Tyrion. Yeah.
Pig boy, ill in pain. And that's the one that she really doesn't like. And she's like, please don't marry me to your... And then...
Uncle?
Tyrion comes around the corner. Uncle? And he's like, can I have a moment alone?
I kind of... You know, there's some creepy parts for Tyrion later on. But, like, up to here, like, and through the wedding, like, he's a pretty respectable guy. Like, we know Tyrion.
Yeah, I think he does it pretty well.
Yeah, he's not awful. Yeah.
His nature got the best of him, I guess, later on in the chapter, but...
I think he plays it, like, really good the whole way through. Like, the end is kind of weird, but, like, to your point, like, I don't think anybody in this time period would do what Tyrion did. Nobody. Like, not even
Ned
for
sure
would do
not.
What the Tyrion did, I don't
they
know.
Would have been like, yes, this is my wedding day, like...
If Ned's dad commanded him to do something, and like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think... It's one of the things like, I don't know if Ned would stop.
No, yeah. I mean, if it was his duty.
Yeah,
type
I don't
of
know.
Thing,
I mean, we've seen Ned do shit for his, to his own detriment before. Yeah.
Tyrion does apologize for keeping this a secret. I don't know if why couldn't they have told Sansa like because they didn't want the Tyrells to find out. Exactly. Like, that's the whole point. She definitely would have ran to tell too.
Yeah, but Tyrion doesn't explain that. He just says we needed to keep it quiet for reasons of state.
Yeah,
I think it's funny because then when she does he starts walking her in and she quickly realizes there's no Tyrells there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, before that, I guess Tyrion here basically offers to like step down. He's like, if you don't want it, he's like, this was I don't want this anymore than you.
Yeah. Like, hey.
This was my dad's idea. If you want, you can have Lance on my place. And she's like, it's not up to me. It's up to
I think Joffrey. That was a bluff, though. I truly think that was a bluff.
I don't know. I mean,
Tywin wasn't giving up this marriage.
Well, to all he cared about was Lancel. Tywin said that in the meeting. He's like, if you won't do it, we'll just marry her to Lancel.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, sure. I think that's a bluff, though.
Tyrion, I think, even in the meeting said that he thought some of it was a bluff, but I don't think it's that much worse. I don't think
Tywin
Lancel's not that much of a step down from Tyrion.
Yeah, I mean, it's sure. Agree, disagree. I think it's a pretty big step down, but
in Tywin's eyes, though, Tywin doesn't even like Tyrion. He won't even give him Castle Rock.
Tywin still has Winterfell at that point. Yeah, like what does
yeah,
he care?
Yeah, but it's his. It's still his like
closer
actual,
to him. Yeah,
yeah. It's, so I don't know his line. Even if he doesn't want to claim him, it's still it's still his line. At one point, Tyrion might have kids. You know, so
yep.
For a guy that cares all about his family and his line, I would say it means a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I can see it.
But yeah, there are a lot of witnesses there. I didn't write them down, else, but there aren't any Tyrells there.
Yep. She does think back to, I don't want any Lannister. I want Willis, Highgarden, the Barge. I think she thought about this in the last chapter.
The puppies
and the little kids, Ned, Rickon, and Bran, which I think is cool. She wants the neighbor kids after the boys. Yeah, then we're in. We got all the people. She saw Dantos or Baelin Swan or Burros Blunt, but no Loras. And that's when she realizes, oh crap, no Tyrells are here at all. Then she sees Varys, Adam Marbrand, Philip Foot, Bronn, Jalabar Zo, and a dozen others, including Giles Risby, Coughing, Lady Ermisonde.
Ermisonde.
At the breast, and Lady Tanda's daughter crying, which is probably Lolly's.
Ermisonde?
I think it is Lolly's. Yeah, it's definitely a pregnant daughter, right? Yeah. She has two daughters, Felice, but pregnant daughter.
And Ermisonde is like, that's the one that's, the baby, yeah.
Sansa doesn't care that Lollys is crying here because she thinks that she will be joining her soon anyway, and she is. Sansa doesn't even really remember a lot of the ceremonies. Seems like potentially a long one. Lots of stuff, singing, vows, up and down, up and down.
Sounds like my wedding.
A little bit. Yours wasn't actually as bad as I thought it would be. No, not bad, as long as I thought it would be.
Well, I'm telling Danielle that.
I think there's a cool line. She says something like that there was 100 tall candles, but the tears in her eyes made them seem like 1,000. And nobody noticed that she was crying, or at least pretended not to.
Her ass was bawling up there.
I mean, Garland Lily comes up to her later and is like, "Weren't you? I saw you."
I mean, she also like you walk in looking sad as shit. Like everyone knows you're not happy.
Yeah, like all eyes are on the bride. Like Sansa's like, "Well, no one noticed."
Why would anybody think she was going to be happy? Right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
This is pretty obviously a forced situation.
Yeah.
So we get to the changing of the cloaks, and this is where Joff is playing dad and taking off the maiden cloak. Getting a quick little purple nurple in, too.
Yeah, grabs a boob.
What a weirdo.
It is super weird.
And then he pulls the cape off, and then Tyrion's up.
Yeah, Tyrion. And, like, this is where, like, you mentioned it before, like, come on, Sansa, like, cut the guy some slack. He's been really nice to you this whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You want to kind of make a joke of it all, but, like... And she realizes at the end. I mean, she's 13. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It really puts it all back into perspective when you think about her being a 13-year-old versus her being Sophie Turner and not, like, a 20-year-old, a 22-year-old.
Well, so this is one of those things, right, where, like, it's awful to Tyrion, but she's definitely making a point at the same time, right? Like...
To who?
Like, he's not fit to marry me point?
No, just like... Fuck this whole situation, right? Like, she's rebelling against the situation she's in. And this is, like, her one piece of control she has. And like I said, it's not nice to Tyrion as a person. So I get that. Like,
it just sucks because it's just Tyrion. Like, it's not like she's spitting in Cersei's face. Cersei and Joffrey are laughing.
Yeah.
Joffrey's laughing.
Yeah,
I guess you're right.
I think you're right. Like, you guys are both right. But the thing is, like, it's just one of those moments where you're like, come on, Sansa. Like, just kneel. Like, come on. We know our boy Tyrion probably just,
after
like,
the third, maybe after the third tug, like, all
right. Well, and he's, like, tugging on her, too. Like, just say something, right? Like.
And I think this is what does it. Like, this is like Tyrion seemed to be in a pretty good mood when they first talked, right? We don't get a ton of that conversation when they were talking about like, oh, you can marry Lancel if you want, like, but he seemed to be in a good mood. After this, he is pissed off. He doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't want to dance at the wedding. I think this is pretty much why.
He's really the one making out in this whole deal, right? He's getting Sansa, who from all accounts is a really pretty girl with a great claim, and he's winning.
And I would be pissed if I was Tyrion too, but I think he does just get a little like butthurt about this.
He should understand it
from Sansa's perspective. Like, she doesn't want, and he even says like, I know you don't want me.
Yeah.
But like, this is what we got.
I agree. He gets red faced after this, right? He's not red faced walking in next to her. So I completely agree.
Yeah. I want to read this little quote of how it happens. Right. And so, I guess I'm jumping ahead a little bit there. Right. So, the way that it actually happens is she doesn't kneel.
Yeah.
Everyone starts laughing.
They call Dantos. Joffrey calls Dantos up to be a stool.
Yep. And so it was that her lord husband cloaked her in the colors of House Lannister while standing on the back of a fool. When Sansa turned, the little man was gazing up at her, his mouth tight, his face as red as her cloak. Suddenly, she was ashamed of her stubbornness. She smoothed her skirts and knelt in front of him so their heads were on the same level. With this kiss, I pledge my love and take you for my lord husband.
With this kiss, I pledge my love, the dwarf replied hoarsely, and take you for my lady wife. He leaned forward, and their lips touched briefly. So that's it. That's how Sansa and Tyrion get married.
Yeah, and he's definitely pissed here, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're getting at. But she did try and make it up a little bit, right? Like, she kneeled.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a little bit too late, though. Yeah.
And then her next line is, he is so ugly.
Even uglier
than that.
Yeah, which is pretty rough. Boy,
ugly.
Well, I mean, he did just take an axe to the face or whatever here.
Yeah,
a sword.
Yeah. He's still got a live wound on his face, right?
He wasn't good looking before.
Pretty nasty scab.
Mismatched eyes, mismatched hair color, different color beard. Like, he wasn't ugly before, and now he's got a huge...
He wasn't pretty before. He was ugly.
Yeah.
So then they get to the reception in the small hall, and Tyrells must just RSVP'd to the reception.
I think they... I was thinking about this. Like, I wonder if, like...
caught wind of it?
Well, I think the Lannisters probably invited them, but just, like, not to the wedding. Just, like, to the ceremony and, like, after the fact. Like, as soon as the Septon's like, you're now man and wife, I think a messenger showed up at House Tyrell and was like, hey, we're having, like, a reception, and, like, two doors over in two hours from now type thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it happens one way or another. I don't think they obviously didn't get an invitation, like, hey, just come to the reception.
Or maybe they did get an invitation to the wedding and they chose not to go.
Why would they go to the reception then?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So who knows? I don't know.
Everybody likes reception. We'll
the Tyrells are kind of giving they kind of give her a cold shoulder here though. Other than Margaery, right? Margaery looks sad at her, but everybody else is like just acting like she's not there.
She's like kind of beneath them now, right? Like she's no longer. Like, she was kind of in with all those girls, and now, like, she's this weird wife to this man that nobody looks up to.
I think it shows the cattiness, maybe, of the Tyrell family. Like, yeah, we're just nice to you because we wanted to use you. Like she said earlier, they just want my claim. They don't really actually care about me.
Yeah.
I think part of it, too, though, is they don't know that the Lannisters ever knew that they were doing anything. Right, like the Lannisters did know that they were plotting to marry her away, and they can probably make that assumption based on this marriage that they're not involved in or whatever. But like, as far as they know, which was like, kind of what Tywin was saying, is like they can't take offense to this because they never told us of their plans.
Sure,
we're never telling them of our plans, and we just beat them to it.
Nor do they really have the option to be like, oh no, we're going to take Sansa and marry her. Like, obviously, the Lannisters had control of her.
Yeah.
Right. So
I'm just saying, like, Margaery can't run up to her and be like, oh, it sucks that our plans didn't work out because, like, Tyrion's not supposed to know about the plans and all that stuff.
Yeah, because it was a secret.
Yeah, but I mean, her friends, Eleanor, Alla, and
everybody
Mega,
but Margaery, the friends, especially, like, why do they have to stop being her friend? Because she married Tyrion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's she's no longer one That's of them. That's the cattiness of it all. I'm not saying. Yeah. They had to be like, oh, sorry, you can't come to Highgarden now.
I 100% think it could be Katniss, but I think it also could have been, since Olenna also, they say, doesn't look at her. I think Olenna might have been like, hey, you little girls, don't fuck this up and go talk to Sansa about some shit you shouldn't be in front of all these Lannisters. Like, just ignore her. But again, stay away from her. I don't know. Yeah. I think it could be the pettiness, too,
yeah.
that you're saying.
But whatever. So Tyrion gets super drunk.
Yeah, that's all he's doing is drinking.
He's super drunk and she's not enjoying it at all, not eating anything, just kind of sitting there. And this is where, I don't know if we've learned much about the bedding ceremony. This might be the best description of it all.
I was wondering that too, Kyle. Did we, like, I feel like we've heard about it.
I don't think we heard about this bundling them into bed together. Like, this is so strange.
Read that quote. Like, explain what it is.
The men would carry her up to her wedding bed, undressing her on the way and making rude jokes about the fate that awaited her between the sheets, while the women did Tyrion the same honors. Only after they had been bundled naked into bed would they be left alone, and even then the guests would stand outside the bridal chamber, shouting ribald suggestions through the door. The bedding had seemed wonderfully wicked and exciting when Sansa was a girl, but now that the moment was upon her, she felt only dread. She did not think she could bear for them to rip off her clothes, and she was certain she would burst into tears at the first Randy Jape.
Yep. So it's kind of just like a...
It's awkward as fuck, man.
It is super awkward. I think it's most awkward, too, for like... Just imagine being the dad and being like, all right, go start ripping my daughter's clothes off.
Yeah.
Throw her into the bed. Like, and again, it's their custom, so it's not weird to them because they've obviously always done this, but it's super
weird. Yeah, they did it themselves, like, right?
What the fuck?
Yeah. I was wondering, too, like... Sansa
just
says,
a way to make sure it happens, I think, right?
Well, Sansa says it seemed exciting as a child. I would have thought like it would have been like, okay, kids, you go to bed, and then we'll have the bedding ceremony.
Well, I think you're looking at everybody else having so much fun.
Like Sansa's 12. Was Sansa like 7 at a wedding in Winterfell watching people get stripped
naked? I'm sure.
That's pretty crazy.
Like, I don't think this like the bedding ceremony is that's something that's not. Highborn only, like any wedding that would take place, there's probably gonna be a bedding ceremony because it's just how you go to consummate.
It seems like it's super important here because like without the consummation, like even Tywin was saying that, like he's like, yeah, I don't care, you just have to do it once to make it.
Well,
real,
I definitely think it's super important here just because it's obviously making it real. Like I don't if the pigsty guy and his wife don't. Consummate, like that's not changing political relations.
At first I agreed with you, but then I started thinking what Kyle was saying, where it seems like it is probably more important for Highborn to do it for.
I would say it's definitely more important because there's political aspects of it all. Yep. But obviously, in the eyes of their septons and whatnot, you would assume it's not finished until it's consummated.
That's why
it's so important. So
yeah, exactly. That makes sense. That's why it would be important for everybody because it's just like a religious thing almost.
Yeah.
But music starts playing and Tyrion doesn't want to dance and everyone else starts dancing. Though Joffrey and Margaery start kick it all off.
Well, I think this is Tyrion kind of throwing it back in her face. Like he's like, she's like, hey, can we dance? And again, Tyrion knows Sansa's the girl who knows, loves Prince Charming and all that stuff. And he's like, we've had enough embarrassment for one day. Pretty much saying like, you already embarrassed me once. I kind of take it almost as like, I would have done this for you maybe if you would have kneeled earlier.
We said, I think we have already given them sufficient amusement for one day, don't you?
Exactly. Like if you wouldn't have embarrassed me earlier, maybe I'd let you embarrass me now. But
I don't know if they would have just walked out proudful. Like, they wouldn't have to be embarrassed. Like, it's obviously.
But because of what happened earlier,
I'm assuming some of that just because of the mood shift, which might be, again, I'm reading a little bit too much into it there. But he seemed pretty, like, upbeat before the wedding, and then he's like, this is like the first interaction ever. I'm assuming like after
he was at least neutral before the wedding, trying to put his best foot forward. Like if she knelt for the cloak, he definitely would be like, all right, cool. Yeah. Let's go dance.
Exactly. Maybe not happy about it, but I think he'd give her the benefit of the doubt.
I do agree with you. I think it's a response to her being and him getting laughed at and shit earlier.
Yeah. So,
and like, just like Sansa's like throughout this chapter, this isn't how I imagined my wedding. I'm sure it's not. Well, one, Tyrion's been married already, but I'm sure it's not how he imagined it either, type of thing.
Well, I mean, right here comes one, right? Where Joffrey and Margaery went out. How can a monster dance so beautifully? And then she looked around and realized that nobody was smiling, not even her husband.
Yeah. Well,
she's like, damn, this is not how it was supposed to be.
Yeah. Everyone knows it's like awkward. Yeah. And then other people start dancing. Eleanor and her young squire. So I think we heard about her.
There's a whole list of them.
I got him. Don't worry.
Mega with Prince Tommen. Lord Meriwether, the Irish beauty with the black hair and the big dark eyes, spun so provocatively that every man in the hall was soon watching her.
Yeah, she's shaking it. She's out there twerking on the dance floor. Which one is that? That's Lady Meriwether?
Meriwether.
Yeah. Meriwether. they dance different in Marine?
No, Mir is... There's actually a city called Mir.
Mir.
Yeah. Miranese is people from Marine. I could see that, though. Why you thought that?
The Lord and Lady Tyrell are out there Kevin Lannister danced with Jaina Fossaway,
yep,
which is Tyrell's sister. Mary Crane took the floor with Exile Prince Jalabar Joe. So now we get a little bit more about him, right? I don't think I knew that he was an exiled prince, did I? It felt like it was new information.
I have it in his notes, and I didn't just put it in there, so I think we probably heard it the first time. Again, this guy just, like, it's weird because he's been mentioned, like, a decent amount of times.
Everywhere.
He's just, like, kind of in all the court scenes. But, like, what we hear about him is he's just, like, an exile prince who's just, like, always asking Robert for money. And Robert liked hanging out with him, but never, like, wanted to actually, like, basically he's like, hey, I want you to give me an army and money so I can go take back my homeland type thing. And yeah. Robert's like, oh, we will one day. We just don't got the cash flow for it right now. But, like, come to these Robert liked hanging out with him, so he'd, like, invite him to all these parties. But now, like, Robert's gone, and he's still just, like, hanging out. And he's like, I guess just, like, he's just been around long enough that he's just,
like super important. Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's mentioned way.
He's a prince.
Like,
I mean, he was a prince.
He's mentioned a lot, but he doesn't do anything except for show up in court scenes and just, like, be there.
Dress nice.
I mean, what is there to be if you're an exiled prince and you're just like, what is there to do?
Yeah, but to your point, like, I think there's something more to this guy. Yeah,
I'm waiting for him to pop off something.
Okay,
something important to happen with him. But I have no idea what it could be at this point. I mean. Who would, right? All this, like we just said, he's just there.
Exactly. Just always there, doing nothing, dressing crazy. So then last one I guess there's two more, the Cersei.
Cersei danced with Red Wine and Rowan and then Tywin.
And then Tywee, who can dance like a goat.
I like that. Who danced with smooth, unsmiling grace. That's Tywin.
He doesn't know how to smile.
And Sansa's thinking, like, oh, Cersei. Also, she eventually looks over and sees Moonboy and Dantos dancing together.
That's funny. I thought that was funny.
Okay, but Sansa, again, this is where she's, like, looking at Cersei, and she's like, dang, she's charming everybody out there. I hate her. And I think it's just funny that, like, both Joffrey and Cersei, like, Sansa hates them both. They just put on a show. Joffrey's a beautiful dancer, even though he's a monster.
Yeah, they know how to work the room. They're working
the room. You don't know people like that? I definitely know people like
100%.
They're not as awful as the two of them, but like it's just like, man, these people suck behind the scenes, but everybody loves them.
Yep. All right, so Garland comes up and saves her, asks her to dance.
Yep,
exactly. Hey, lady, come dance with me. I'll show you a two-step.
And he's like, if Tyrion's okay with it, and Tyrion's like, she can do whatever the fuck she wants, which again, I think is a win for Tyrion. Again, I think...
I don't know, it's kind of fucked up, like, whatever, go fucking
a lot of people
dance.
In this situation, if you're Tyrion, and you just got shit on by your wife in front of everyone, you'd be like, no, you can sit the fuck down. Especially after you just said no, she just told him...
Most people?
In this time, in this time period.
I would say most fucked up people, but...
In this time, I think a lot of people would just be like...
I mean, it's also a thing where she stands up and then dances with the entire room, so...
Well, yeah, it's like one of those dances where we, like, swing arms
and
switch
and
people.
Yeah, like, it's not that...
It's not a one-on-one slow dance.
It's just the invitation up out of her seat. I guess to your point of, like, in this time period, the husband kind of being the patriarch of the family, the rule...
Yeah, it's like, I would expect anybody nowadays to do this, but, like, back in the day, I don't, especially because Tyrion's mad at her right now. And even though he's mad at her, he's like, fuck it, I don't care. Just go out there.
I guess the weird part is it kind of sounds like this would be their first dance. Like, obviously, they started it.
I think they were supposed to start it, but Joffrey did instead.
They were supposed to start it. They didn't. So it's like, what's going on here type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Garland saves her, and then we get their little combo.
Little foreshadowing for later, I guess, right?
What do you mean?
The consummation part. Just that it never happened.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So yeah, as they walk on the dance floor, she's like, I see why they call you the gallant. It kind of like sucks because he tells this like kind of endearing.
Just so they didn't make fun of me.
Well, he tells this like kind of endearing story about Willis,
nice
who she
guy,
was supposed
to
marry. Like, yeah, he is a nice guy. Like, I was a plump little boy, I fear, and we do have an uncle called Garth the Gross. So Willis struck first, though not before threatening me with Garland the Greensick, Garland the Galling, and Garland the Gargoyle.
Another gargoyle.
Yep. And it makes Sansa chuckle, and she feels like really grateful for it because it gave her like a spark of hope, even if just for a second. And rebellions are built on hope.
Maybe I can still smile and laugh after this, after all. Yeah, is that a Star Wars joke?
I think Rogue One. Who says that, Leia?
It's Rogue One.
Leia doesn't say that?
No, it's Jane Erso. Rebellions are built on hope.
So which one is Garland?
Garland is the really
he's
good one who fights against like three people.
Better than Loras.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's not the heir. He's the second brother.
Oh, you're right. Willis is the oldest.
Willis is the heir. He's the second son.
Yeah, you're right. Garland is now the Lord of Brightwater, which was the Florence.
Okay.
Before the Florence lost it because they're on Stannis' side.
Yeah. So Garland's basically like, hey, me and my wife was worried about you.
Yep.
I don't remember her name.
Leonette.
She was like, oh, how sweet of her to worry about that. And she was like, oh, no, I'm actually having a great time here at my wedding. And like,
well, she's like, I'm well. And Garland's like, I think a bride's supposed to be better than well at her own wedding. You were crying also. Like, we saw it.
Yeah. And she's like, I mean, she's got to have like puffy red eyes, like, yeah, like full on allergy season four right now.
Yeah, exactly. And she goes, tears of joy. And he's like, I can tell it's bullshit.
I've seen you looking at Loris. you don't want that little man.
This was interesting comment.
This is the first time I think we've actually heard Garland talk, and he's like kind of spitting facts out here. I mean, I think Loris would probably be an okay husband, except for the fact that he's gay and wouldn't really be interested in you.
We don't really know anything about him other than he's...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, the one time he escorted her down, he was like super nice to her.
Right? He was, so, but like, I think the point here, right, is that Garland knows something about
him. He knows Loris on a different level. I agree. It's interesting because he knows Loris. We don't really. And he's like, yeah, Tyrion might actually be better.
Yeah, to your point, Loris might kind of be like... He does seem full of himself. Like when Tyrion...
Or it might be like, hey, actually,
I know.
Loris...
You're talking about him being gay. But I think Garland... There might be more to it, too. Like, to Jess's point, we actually don't know much about him.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And like, Tyrion has interacted with him a few times. Like the one time he's guarding, he's like, why did you join the Kingsguard? And he's like, your brother did at a young age. He's like, I know my brother's reasons. And he's like... Once the sun set, a candle can never take its place or something like that, right? Which is he saying that, but also he does seem to have like an air of arrogance about him. He's talking about Renly there, but I feel like he has an air of arrogance to him.
I agree. All right. So then they start swinging around, dancing. She has a bunch of partners. I didn't take them all down, but then she ends up with Joff. Do you want to hit the names before? Or?
Mace, then Tommen, who Tommen says he wishes that he was married.
Yeah, Lord Meriwether.
Huh?
Mace, Lord Meriwether, and then Prince Tommen.
Okay. And then, and Tommen says that, like, I want to be married too. I'm taller than Tyrion, which kind of makes me think that Tommen wants to be married to Sansa. Right? Like, why not me? Why else compare yourself to Tyrion? Yeah, like, I'm taller than this guy. Why not marry me instead?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. He sounds like super young to even,
he
like,
is,
have
he's just
opinion
a little,
right
little, little boy, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to say, I'm big, I'm grown, I could be married taller than that guy. But anyway.
So then the partners changed, and then it was Kevin Lannister, Kavan, who told her Kevin. She was beautiful. Jalabarzo, who spoke in a Summer Island language. Pax the Red Wine, who wished her many fat children and years of joy. And then Joffrey, who drew her close, told her not to be sad, and said, Tyrion's ugly, but you'll still have me.
What?
And he's like, wait, you're going to marry Margaery. Don't, like, you can't. And he's like, a king can have whoever he wants.
I can do whatever I want. I'm the king.
This is where I think I said it was earlier, but this was this conversation happening there.
Yeah. He's basically like, yeah, like my dad. My dad had whores. I can have whores. Like,
my dad did whatever he wanted.
Like, I do like Robert. He's a funny guy. Horrible king and horrible, like, role model for his
horrible
children.
Husband, horrible,
horrible
king.
Husband.
Good, like, good drinking buddy.
He's funny in the scenes, but he is just horrible. Just a horrible person.
Yeah. He's not a role model.
He's a good drinking buddy. That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
And then...
He also mentions another king, an Aegon, that he's not sure which one it is. I don't think it's a spoiler. It's Aegon the Fourth is this one that he's talking about. And later he mentions that this guy just basically would have whoever he wanted married or not. And that's what this guy's known for. He was called Aegon the Unworthy. He would just...
bang everybody.
Yeah, like, even if they were married, he'd be like, I don't care, I'm the king. Your wife's coming to my room tonight. Or you're dead. Or you're both dead type thing. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what he says here. My uncle will bring you to my bed whenever I command it, which is really strange.
That's
in itself
super
too,
strange.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just, it's like kind of like Joffrey's the role model. Like, Joffrey doesn't seem very interested in history, but the king that he mentions isn't like, oh, Aegon the Conqueror, or like Jaehaerys the Conciliator,
the
who's the one who like built
Rome. Robert the Drunk are the two kings.
Exactly. Aegon the Unworthy and Robert the Drunk are the two that he mentions as his like role models from his
role. Gotcha. Yeah, they weren't good ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on,
bottom
pick
of
a good
barrel
one.
Yeah.
So the music dives down, and then Joff's trying to start the bedding ceremony. It kind of, this is like pie in Joffrey's face right now, because he just went on a tangent of like, I can do whatever I want. I'm the king. I'll command everything of anyone. And Tyrion, at the first command, shuts it down. And threatens him.
With the knife, yeah.
You'll service your own bride with a wooden prick. I'll geld you, I swear.
In front of everybody.
And everybody gets really quiet. Sansa's trying to get away from Joffrey. Joffrey rips her sleeve in the process.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Which I think is funny because Cersei...
Mommy paid a lot of money
for careful
that.
Not to break her, rip her shirt.
Mommy paid a lot of money for that. So then, Cersei looks at Tywin's like, did you hear what he just said? Like, the king?
Tywin plays this really cool, I feel.
He does. Yeah.
Like, very calm, like, all right, Easy Tywin. Or no easy betting. Tyrion, say you're sorry.
Exactly.
Joffrey, he didn't mean it.
Yeah.
It's like dealing with toddlers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He's very drunk.
It was chill. A joke, is what Tyrion says, right?
Yeah. I was jealous of your own royal manhood. If you would have cut off my tongue, I would have no way to pleasure my bride.
Because his own wiener's so small, he said.
Dude, that was great.
I got a tiny
great self joke.
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, time to go to bed. And he just grabs Sansa and walks out of the room. And luckily, nobody follows him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Time to smash your Porculus. I want to play Come into the Castle. Which isn't that what Walter Frey is?
It's like it's just like a little kid's game. It's like Bran, I think, and Sansa played it as little kids, which is weird, like that he's saying it now. I think it might be a joke to the fact that she's so little. Like, I don't know. It is weird because like it's a game that like little kids play with each other.
I thought it was an innuendo that the little kids didn't realize what they were playing. That was what I was looking at.
Maybe
think that I don't remember that being what would be the game called? Coming to my castle.
I feel like we've definitely read that before.
Well, the Walters were playing Cross My Bridge, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but there was definitely Coming to My Castle before. Somebody had said.
I don't recall.
I'll search Ice and Fire real quick. Yeah, you're 100% right.
So they go up, and they get to spend the nice night in the Tower of Hand, not Tywin's room, but another room in the Tower of the Hand.
Yeah, airy bedchamber high in the Tower of the Hand.
And they go in, and Tywin's like, "All right, pour me a glass of wine. I'm gonna need to get super drunk. I need to get more drunk.
Yeah, we got to get fucked up for this. Like, if we're gonna be doing this."
Yeah. Okay. Hold on, real quick. Interjection. I found Coming to My Castle. First quote of it ever was an Arya 2 Game of Thrones. There's a lot of them. But it says, Arya had loved nothing better than to sit at her father's table and listen to them talk. She had loved listening to the men on the benches too, to free riders tough as leather, the courtly knights and bold young squires grizzled in men-at-arms. She used to throw snowballs at them and help them steal pies from the kitchen. Their wives gave her scones and she invented names for their babies and played monsters and maidens, hide the treasure, and come into my castle with their children.
I mean, she obviously wasn't banging these kids. What I'm saying is that she was making, like, she didn't know what she was saying. I think that's, like, they don't realize what the name means.
Or is Tyrion just making a joke about it all? Like,
yeah, because she's little.
I'm going to go play Coming to My Castle with this child.
With this little girl. Yeah, exactly. Which is, like, kind of a creepy joke, but he is, like, kind of making jokes right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he gets in. They get the wine.
Drinking. Sansa's kind of on, like, I need to do my duty type of thing. Like, all right, what do you need? Do you need me to undress? Do you want to undress me? How do you want this to go?
It's one of the things where Tyrion's definitely like creepy here, but again, like I feel like if we were in his head, he might be thinking very similar things to Sansa. And there's a couple times where Sansa's even like he doesn't like this any more than I do.
I mean, there's points where he's super creepy, and I think there's points where he's like, shit, I gotta do my duty, just like
this
it's
is gonna
a
happen
job
either
almost.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're both thinking that. You were saying Sansa's that. I'm saying I think Tyrion's got a little bit of that too.
Agreed.
Yeah. For sure. She gets the story of his first wife, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
This was kind
of
funny.
Lady
little...
Tysha. But we didn't realize, I don't know if we knew that she was of House Silverfist. Like
I think that's a joke.
I think it was a joke.
Really?
Because we know that the way when Tywin found out, he made all of his guards.
Oh yeah, and everybody had a fistful of silver. Yeah,
and then gave her a silver,
one gold coin and 100 silver. Yeah, I see that now.
Yeah, again, Sansa doesn't know, but
upon a bloody sheet. Yep. Okay.
Ours was a very short marriage.
Yep.
Poor Tyrion. Poor Tysha.
Yeah, but and what his point here is kind of like. It's kind of like, I think, echoing what I think one of you guys said it earlier, like this whole throughout the chapter, Sansa's like, I always dreamed of a tall, strong man cloaking me. I always dreamed of everybody looking at me on my first dance. Here, Tyrion's like, this was my wedding, my first wedding, and it was great. Like, we fell into bed together laughing, right? We ate suckling pig. It was great. Like, we had a great time, and this is just awkward as fuck and horrible. So, like, Sansa's been thinking it the whole time. Like, this is not what I dreamed of. And Tyrion's like, I already had my dream wedding, and this is so far from it. He's kind of, like, verbalizing it now.
Yeah. All right. So then Tyrion's like, all right, let's get this over with. She starts getting undressed. She slips out of her small clothes, and she looks up, and there he is staring at her.
There's a point where he asks her how old she is, and she says, I'll be 13
next. Well, this is it. She gets naked, and then he looks at her.
Yeah?
He looks at her naked, and then he's like, how old are you?
Yeah. And she says 13 next month.
Her hands trembled as she began fumbling at her clothes, yada 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 yada. Sansa did not know which scared her more. You are a child, he said. She covered her breast with her hands. I flowered.
Earlier though, he had said you're 13 next month, and then he takes a big drink of wine. He's like, well, talking won't make you any older. Like,
shall we get on with this? Yeah. Like, you hide behind courtesy. Courtesy is a woman's armor, which the Septa Mordain used to say. Because
she keeps calling him, like, my lord instead of Tyrion. He's like, call me Tyrion. Yeah.
She's looking at him now, and she sees some shit. She at least infers what's going on. She sees hunger in the green eye and fury in the black eye.
Yeah.
Well, and he does say, like, my dad commanded, like, I don't love this. Tywin commanded this. Like,
I'm doing my duty, too, and I don't want this. It has to be done. Yeah.
Yeah, like, we're both under the gun here, essentially, right? But,
yeah, the quote that Jeff's talking about there, like, I thought was weird. Like, because, again, like, I don't think Tyrion's, like, creepy like that. But, like, later he does say, I want you. Like, he says, like, I want you, and that scares me. Like, does it scare you? Yeah. Like, does it scare you? It scares me.
A child, he repeated, but I want you.
So, like, when she says, like, there's hunger in his eyes, like, it is, like, it's creepy, right? Like, it's
kind of weird, I mean, sure. Shit. When she's in bed, he's ready to go. I mean, he's not ready to go.
He grabs a boob.
Yeah,
again, another boob grab.
Yeah, third boob grab. Or
Sansa's having her boob grabbed a lot. Yeah, but yeah. When he gets in, so he gets it.
Another kind of creepy deal that Tyrion did. Sorry if I cut you off now. But no, then he's like, "Don't worry. Like, once we get in bed, like, I'm as good as the rest of them.
I know I'm ugly, but turn the lights off. Yeah, I'll do all
right." Well, right before that, I think he actually like tells her like, hey, I know I'm not what you want, but there's reasons to like me. I'm generous. I'm loyal to those who are loyal to me. I'm proven. I'm no craven. I'm clever.
That's all after him saying in bed, I'll be as good as the Knight of Flowers.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
But I'll also be generous and kind to you. And I could love you. I could be good.
Again, I kind of wish we had it from Tyrion's perspective, because I'm sure he's like realizing she's uncomfortable and trying to make her more comfortable. Maybe that's what that was. But it does seem like he's trying to make her more comfortable because he wants it, not because it's weird.
It's all so strange. Like I said, big boat crashing into the dock. Yeah. Nobody can do anything. Everything's getting all fucked up.
Yeah.
It hurts. Then she realizes, that he's like, he's as frightened as me. Perhaps that should have made her feel like, oh, this isn't so bad, but it didn't change her mood at all.
It almost made it worse. All she felt was pity, and pity was death to desire, which I think is a cool quote. And then she's just sitting there trembling. Basically, he says all this. He's like, I can be good. Like, in the dark, it doesn't matter. I'm actually, like, a pretty good guy. I'm smart, clever. I can be I'm even nicer than, like, all the other Lannisters. Like, and he's basically like, what do you think about that? And she just, like, sits there saying nothing. He doesn't say what do you think about that, but that's, like, the implication. And she just sits there, like, not saying anything. And he's like, okay.
All right, get on with it.
Well, he says, I understand, which I think it means, like, I know what that means. It means
you don't believe it.
Well, it's like you just don't care. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You just don't care. And you're hiding behind your courtesy, so you're not going to say it. You're just going to say nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. So she gets on the bed. She tries to get under the covers. He's like, nope, don't bother with that.
Is like one of the weirdest things that he does the whole chapter, is like not letting her get under the covers. Like, just let her get under the covers. Why not?
Yeah, I don't see it being – I'm not one way or the other.
Everything else seems like I'm doing my duty. I have to do this. I have to be in this situation. You don't have to not let the 13-year-old girl just like get under the covers and cover herself if she's uncomfortable, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm indifferent to that part of it. Him stopping her is like, all right, dude, like, come on, like, whatever. But then he just hops on, gives her, after he gets undressed, gives her a little boob grab.
Yep.
She closes her eyes, waiting for more, wondering what she should do next.
She shudders, and I think that's what makes him stop. He's like, I'm not doing this.
Well, I mean, yeah, she probably does shudder.
She's super creeped out by me.
Well, yeah, shudders and tensed up, like, yeah, exactly. It was very, like, unwilling, yeah.
And I think he's like, I no way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not happening.
But again, like you mentioned before, this has definitely happened before. This has to be a super
common occurrence. Like, all the marriages.
An old man marries a 13-year-old every other year, probably, in this book.
Like, all the marriages are arraigned. Like, when Kat got married to Ned, it was probably super awkward. Had they ever met each other? No.
Tyrion has Shay, though, right? The whole time you're forgetting that Tyrion loves somebody else currently.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I didn't forget.
100% love somebody else.
I don't know how that has anything to do
with it. What do you mean, you know, like, so, like, that's definitely pulling him the other way, too, right? Like, he's, like, why would he want to do it with somebody that has no interest in him when he knows he has somebody out there that
agreed.
I think it's clear he doesn't want to. He's hard, but he feels it more out of his duty than lust.
He has any problem walking away. Like, honestly, if Shay was in the next room over, he'd be like, all right, like, you go to bed, like, I'll go bang Shay.
Honestly, I bet you the thing that he pissed off the most is that he's actually not solidifying his claim to like future Winterfell, right? Like if that's maybe the goal, right? He's not getting what
he's never really said that was his goal, though. So
but that's what they said. Know, that's what they said his goal was. Like, that's why we're marrying Sansa, is because she could have claim if we win this
war. I mean, if he really was, he would just do his side of the deal and get it over with.
Like,
and
but that combination and the duty combination is more why he would actually want to than, oh, I'm attracted to this girl and I'm just horny. Because to Kyle's point,
yeah,
if he's horny, he can go see Shay.
Yeah. All right. Let's.
He can't just go see her, though.
Not the same. It's not time. That easy. But
and I think he's like I said, I think it feels like he's betraying her some. I gotcha.
Yeah. All right. So she opens her eyes, sees him at the foot of the bed and he's just kind of squat there, rock hard. And he's like, I can't do this. Like, we can wait till you trust me or till you're ready to do this. She's basically like, what if I'm never ready? I thought it was an interesting spot. She tries to find the beauty of him.
Yeah.
That someone had taught her. Was it Septa?
Septa Mordain said all men can be beautiful. But then when she tries, she literally just roasts him. Stunted legs, swollen brutish brow, green eye, black one, raw stump of a nose, and a crooked pig scar. Coarse tangle of black and gold hair that passed for his beard. Even his manhood was ugly. She's thick veined with a bulbous purple head. She's taking shots at the dude's dick. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dicks are ugly.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't know if anybody's looked at a dick and be like, wow, that's a really good dick.
That's a good looking dick.
I don't think so. I have it. So
this is when he says, I won't touch you until you want me to. She says, what about never? And he takes a little offense to that.
He's hurt there.
Yeah.
And this is a guy, I mean, he's paid for a lot of his women, right? But like, he's obviously Tysha, he thinks, fell in love with him. Shay now loves him. Like, he's not striking out.
But Tysha and Shay are both like whores, though.
They're both whores. Yeah.
I get it. I'm talking about from his eyes why I think he takes offense to that. Like, damn, like, you really never think you could ever fall a little bit in love with
that me? That makes it hurt even more. Like, no one will ever love me without.
That's why I have horse.
That's what you're saying, Jeff, what he right? says. Yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And that's it. They go to Betty bed. That's what whores are for.
Yeah. And then he hops off the bed, leaves her alone.
Yeah. I mean, I hope we never come back to this.
To this relationship or to the bedding ceremony? The bedding ceremony.
The problem is there's two characters now that either one, if we come back to.
Yeah, I know.
We're dealing with this.
We actually just repeat this whole chapter from Tyrion's point of view. The next exactly. Tyrion,
and then it goes back to Sansa again as a recap for some reason. So anyway, no. So I think they both mutually kind of keep this secret because it probably helps them both, and maybe Sansa does learn to like him a little more and helps him with Shay somehow, or he helps her out. I don't know. This could go so many different directions, right?
Yeah,
like, I feel like this one has, especially because we have two points of view. Like we said, like Tyrion could do crazy shit, she could do crazy shit. Yeah. She still kind of has that Dantos plan a little bit. I know she told him it's off, but
like, I think it's a brand new turn down the road that has a whole bunch of new turns off of it, right?
Yeah,
major event for sure. So
yeah, kind of like what I was saying at the beginning. Like, I feel like both this chapter and the last chapter, the Dany one, were both like bangers, but like this one's not. Like you said at the beginning, not happy, but like what I meant by banger is what you guys were just saying. Like big,
a lot of
things can happen from where
plot twist, plot turn. Story.
Exactly. Yep. So cool. That's all I got.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah, we'll let Kyle go, gentlemen. And we'll see the rest of you guys next. In the next one for Arya. It might be like Arya 5.
The goat. All right. See ya.
Bye, bye, Kyle. Nerds.
Bye. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert!
Bye, Kyle!
Bye, Kyle! Thanks for hanging out. Now, on to the spoiler section of Sansa 3. Nels, what's your hot take?
I actually got a decent amount.
Do you? Interesting. I don't
think there's a lot of big ones, but I got a decent amount of little ones.
I didn't really... Is it just like all like foreshadowing type stuff, or...?
Well, like one is something that I think Kyle has had the opportunity to figure out, but hasn't. I'm not saying it's easy. But early on, when she's talking about who knew when she's getting dressed and Cersei says, oh, you're too beautiful for that gargoyle. And she thinks about Willis. She's like, that doesn't make sense. The only people who knew were Margaery, Olenna, and Dantos. But Dantos doesn't count. Well, Dantos is the reason Cersei knows that she was supposed to marry Willis, because Dantos told Littlefinger and Littlefinger told the council. Right, so it's funny that, that Cersei thinks, oh, Dontos doesn't count because he's like my secret. We're keeping secrets together. We're secret buddies.
But Dontos actually did spill. Maybe he didn't know it would get to Cersei, but at least told Littlefinger.
Exactly. Yeah, he told Littlefinger, and then Littlefinger shared it with the council. Because last time in the council, it's even a point like Littlefinger told us about this marriage. Littlefinger told us about this other thing. And I think Tyrion even says, like, wait, why are we getting all our news from Littlefinger and not Varys? Which is like kind of a hint to, how would the council learn about this? Here, Sansa gives us the answer, right? Three people knew. Margaery, Olenna, and Dontos. If Margaery and Olenna didn't tell, then it's Dontos. And we know the council got the news from Littlefinger, so it's Dontos told Littlefinger, right? And I feel like there's enough, like, kind of...
I believe I can follow that line. I think it's pretty
foreshadowing pretty well in the accepted. Past. Yeah, I think there's, like, some hints in the past, too, that they were working together. Like, all of a sudden, like, Dontos met Sansa a book ago, does nothing for a book because Littlefinger's gone. The day Littlefinger gets back, she's like, my friend is back, and we have this plan to get a boat on the day of the wedding. You know what I mean? Again, I'm not saying it's easy, but I think it's one of those things that's like really interesting to like keep an eye on.
I mean, it's definitely not easy because I think it's supposed to be one of the better kept secrets.
But I think it's easy to – I think it's really cool on like a reread to like catch stuff like that. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Agreed.
Did you have anything for this one?
Dude, I don't have anything.
Okay.
Other than just talking about like obviously this is, wedding never gets consummated and – they go on very different paths, but
so there was no, like there was one I had for that where Tyrion, when he's talking about Tysha, his wedding with Tysha, he says, but that wedding was short lived. Maybe that's fitting because I'm short. This wedding is also, or this marriage is also short lived.
I mean, I don't even know if they consider this, like if it's known that they didn't consummate it, like this thing, they're not actually married, right?
So we'll jump to that. Yeah, I would agree, except for Littlefinger kind of like seems like he wants to kill Tyrion. Like there's a he says something to Sansa in like book 4 or 5 or maybe in a Winds I think it's 5 or a Winds of Winter chapter where he kind of says like I want to marry you off but we have a Tyrion is a big problem like legally I can't mean, even if like
right
because we don't
I mean is it here like he said she said whether or not they consummated or not can they prove
so
she still has her maiden head
that gets into my next point my next spoiler point is where has Tyrion been living since Tywin got back since his injury
this like random room under Cersei right
which is in Maegor's Holdfast and I think Varys told Tyrion in the last Tyrion chapter Maegor's Holdfast Maegor didn't want any rats in his walls because Tyrion says can you get me spies on Cersei and he's like no Maegor didn't want any rats in his walls so there's no actual secret passageways in Maegor.
Mm-hmm.
But on their wedding night, for some reason, Tyrion isn't supposed to take his wife back to his own room. He's supposed to take his wife to the Tower of the Hand. We know there are secret passages in the Tower of the Hand. Tyrion gets there to kill Tywin and Shay at the end. So, I wonder why Tywin gave Tyrion and Sansa a Tower of the Hand room. It's because he's got a spy on the wall listening.
You think someone's watching? 100%
someone's watching to see if they consummate. Because I think later someone tells Tyrion, like, I know you didn't consummate the marriage. I think he tries to play it off to Tywin or Cersei like he did, and they're like, no, you didn't. And he's like, a bedmaid must have said something.
Yeah. I mean, in the show, we know it doesn't happen, right? Because Shay comes in, and Tyrion's passed out, closed on the couch, and the sheets are
clean. Yeah, she's mad, and then she goes to clean the sheets, and she sees that they're not bloody. And yeah, exactly. But yeah, she's not his bedmaid in the book. So
yeah.
Also, I guess while we're on the show, do you know how the Sansa kneeling scene goes in the show?
He like goes to like reach and can't. Joffrey laughs and then she does the polite thing and bends down.
But Joffrey, there actually is a stool there, but Joffrey takes it away.
Joffrey takes it away,
Which again, I think recall. It's like weird.
I was going to bring that up, but like I don't want to bring up too much of the show stuff.
It's like weird changes. Like I don't think it changes too much, but like why not just do it the way it was in the book?
It definitely changes how you like perceive Sansa. Like
I guess you're
Sansa
right.
was like nice as fuck to Tyrion that day, like the whole time.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like bends for her, like I don't like doesn't dance with him at the feast, but like she's doing her duty basically the whole time. And then we know we get to the bed part, and like Tyrion just like, no, I'm not doing that. Like he's not a creep at all in the show. I think it would play a lot differently if he did what he did here.
Again, it's weird. I feel like it's harder to tell when you don't get their inner thoughts and stuff like that, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's also that, what do you call that, narrator type of thing?
Like, unreliable narrator, yeah.
Is that the term you use? So, like, Sansa's not much older. Like, she's 13 going through, like, this is pretty, could be traumatic, is pretty pretty crazy time in her life.
Yeah, I think you're talking about more how, like, when he writes kids, he writes them as, like, they don't quite understand everything that's going on.
I'm just saying, like, the way she's kind of perceiving this could be...
incorrect. She could think that he's hungry for her, but he's really not, type thing.
Yeah, yeah, or whatever, just whatever she's thinking, too. Like, it just could cloud judgment.
Yeah. So, to the Sansa won't kneel thing...
Yeah,
I was just wondering, like, why would Sansa, kneel?
She doesn't bend the knee later on as queen of the...
Well, again, now think about show. That's exactly what I was thinking. Now you need to think about the show. Again, I don't really love the way the show ends, but at the end, they have that council, and Sansa's like, no, the North is not part of the Seven Kingdoms anymore. And she takes that, like, a firm stance, and, like, they're just like, okay, everyone's just, like, okay with it. And I don't love how the show does it, but let's just say it all ends up the exact same, where Sansa is the Lady of Winterfell,
Sansa's queen in the North. Queen that didn't kneel.
If she's queen in the North, she didn't kneel to the queen, like the king in the South, right? So I wonder if this is like the queen that didn't kneel type thing.
That's interesting for sure.
I wonder if that was like what, like part of the her not kneeling for Tyrion is.
Or just like if it's down the road, like she's not going to kneel to a Lannister at all type of thing. Like if they decide to like fight together against any enemy and she's like, no, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Even if it's Tyrion, like Tyrion comes back with Dany and Tyrion and Sansa are like, hey, we're together. And she's like, no, I'm not going to kneel to you. Just like I didn't at our wedding day. I'm not doing it now type thing. I could see that happening. Right. She does, though. She turns around and kneels to him. But I just thought that was interesting. She like really made a point about it. And kind of on that topic, like, I don't know if you remember, but going into season 8, like when we were all geeked up, I think we did a podcast or two before season 8, just like with theories and stuff like that. But I think one of my theories, I think it would be really cool if Tyrion and Sansa. If Cersei dies, and then they decide that Tyrion inherits after Cersei, Jon says, I don't want it. Dany's dead. Cersei dies, and when they decide Tyrion is next in line after Cersei, because he's the only living, if he becomes king, Sansa becomes queen, because technically they're still married and they never got it annulled. I thought that would have been like a really cool twist ending for the show that I think fans still would have maybe thought
they were going to be king, queen, right?
Tyrion, Sansa.
Yeah.
And I still think that's a pretty cool, I don't think it'll happen like that, but I think if it did happen like that, I wouldn't be, again, depending on how it happened, but I kind of like the idea. Well, you'd be super pumped because
you'd be right.
Well, I still kind of like, I just like the idea. Like, I like the couple together. Yeah. It's kind of like when they go, like, even in the show, when they reunite, they like talk like, oh, the last time we saw each other was at Joffrey's wedding. And it's like, I've had worse days. Like, they're joking because Joffrey's dead. But
no, I think Sophie and Peter do a really good job of playing off each other of like, hey, that was a good time, like good job, like not actually going through with
it. Well, I think it's almost like neither of us appreciated each other for what they really were, like, and they kind of start to appreciate each other in those later seasons. And it's almost like, what if they just would have rekindled that spark, right? And again, I know it's weird because of the age gap, but Tyrion, I feel like, isn't nearly as old as he is in the show. He's only like 29. I mean, 29 and 12 is still a huge age gap, but in the show, he's like 40, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, Dinklage has.
So, I mean, Sophie Turner's 22, so the age gap probably is comparable, but.
Yeah, I mean, but when they started, I bet Dinklage was like 38. Like, he probably wasn't young.
Yeah, exactly. Uglier than the Hound. So I think this is interesting because it's at the wedding.
That is one thing that, as I read it, interesting, because I just know you've been on, like, we've been on the Sansa and the Hound as a relationship type thing. She still calls him ugly here, like, even though he's not.
But she's comparing him to. Her husband, and I think it was right before they kiss, right before like the actual wedding kiss, right? In the last Sansa chapter, she had the unkissed.
She talks about thinking about kissing the Hound.
Exactly, which never happened.
But if she started to really like love the Hound, like, are you just going to be like, wow, uglier than the Hound? Like, she really kind of shits on his appearance.
Yeah, I think it's more of just like a literary comparison of the two characters who seem like very anti-Sansa, right? She's about true knights. The Hound isn't even a knight, and he's like cruel and like bloodthirsty. And Tyrion is like crippled and an imp and not handsome.
Yeah, I found it interesting. I think I'd find it more interesting if she was like, wow, I'd rather kiss the Hound at this point, something like that. Yeah.
Even if it's not a romantic thing, those two people who are people, like, if you asked Sansa before she left Winterfell for King's Landing, like, what kind of people do you want to hang out with, it wouldn't be the Hound and it wouldn't be Tyrion, but they're the only two people who have really been nice to her.
Yeah.
Let's see, next one. So when they're pronounced man and wife, what the priest says is, or what the septon says is, I do solemnly proclaim Tyrion of House Lannister and Sansa of House Stark to be man and wife of one flesh, one heart, one soul, now and forever. And cursed be the one who comes between them.
Peter.
And like Lady Tyrell.
Littlefinger.
And Tyrell, right? If
I mean, the Tyrells aren't there to hear it. I guess Peter
is Elena's the there? One that
Littlefinger's not there either.
I'm talking about. I just mean like what actually comes between them is Sansa leaves with Littlefinger because of Joffrey's murder, right? And the Tyrells were involved.
You're
in
saying
that.
who's part of
the
murder?
Escape plan? Yeah.
You're saying Elena's not a part of it though.
I think it does. I think the accepted theory doesn't make sense to me. Like, it doesn't make sense why that many people are involved. Like, even if Elena does want it to happen, like, why is she the one that's actually taking it off Sansa's hairnet? Like, I don't know. Like, why does she not just walk in with that little thing in her pocket? Or is she really going to get frisked? Is Elena going to get frisked on the way into the wedding?
No, there's no security here. There's no.
Yeah, so I don't quite understand it, but that's the accepted theory. So we'll go with that for now, right?
Yeah.
I just thought that was an interesting line. The one who comes between them.
Yeah,
their wedding, like I said earlier, their marriage doesn't last long. It does get split up.
It's similar to like Ygritte in the last chapter. I think it was the last chapter, maybe two chapters ago. And John, like the kinslayer, kin diddler, like they're cursed forever type of thing too. Like there's just a lot of like,
oh yeah, Ygritte talking about like if you sleep with like your brother or your clan member, your
clansman, like it's just there's just like people are getting cursed for doing shit all over the place in this realm.
That kind of brings me into my last one. So my last one goes off a quote and it got me thinking. Joffrey is saying, I think when he's calling for the bedding, he says, let's see what the she-wolf has got to give my uncle.
All right. So are you pulling this to she-wolf to Lyanna?
Exactly. So if the she-wolf is Lyanna and Joff says, what does the she-wolf got to give my uncle? And we think that Lyanna has sex with Rhaegar, goes off with Rhaegar. Is it possible through any of the crazy fan theories that we've ever heard over the days that Rhaegar is somehow Joffrey's uncle? Well, yeah. If either Jaime or Cersei were actually Aerys' child instead of Tywin's, that would make Rhaegar his uncle, right? If they were both Aerys' child, then that would make him Rhaegar his double uncle. I think it's very likely that Cersei, a lot of people think the Tyrion Targaryen theory is really likely. I think the Cersei parallels with him, like her and like loving wildfire and like watching the Tower of the Hand burn and stuff like that. I think Cersei might be a Targaryen, right? Aerys Targaryen's child. Also, when you think about like the way Joffrey acts and the way Cersei acts, like if their name was Targaryen, it's not crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're going down a pretty like, what is it? Tin hat theory.
Yeah. Tinfoil theory.
Tinfoil theory. You're going down a pretty.
You don't see where I'm coming from. Cersei and Joffrey act like crazy Targaryens. They like burning. Joffrey doesn't necessarily like burning stuff, but he's cruel.
All right. So this is what I think to that. I think it plays into the incest part more than it plays to them actually being Targaryens. Now, Cersei,
you're talking about the Joffrey being cruel is more about that incest than the Targaryens. Yes.
Joffrey is kind of a flip of the coin because he's made out of incest. Yep. That doesn't really explain it for Cersei.
Yep. No. I mean, you're right. That's a good counter. That's a good counter argument. And again, this isn't something that I don't think I 100% believe, but I just knew. I know that there's theories that all three of the Lannisters are actually Aerys' son or child because of Cersei. And then just because I brought it up recently, maybe it's not true. I think we've only heard She-Wolf three times ever.
And it's probably been in the last four chapters.
Exactly. And the one was Bran in the story about Lyanna. And the one was Jon thinking about, I forget what the situation, but it was a She-Wolf almost as if it was like right after talking about Ned.
I think it was like, was it like Ghost finding a she-wolf type of thing?
Oh, yeah. He asked Ghost about what constellations he sees in the sky.
Yeah, constellations.
And one of them is a she-wolf. But it's like right on the heels of him thinking about how Ned would never do something that's dishonorable. It's like close to like a thought about like who's John's real mom. And then it's like, oh, what are the constellations you see? The she-wolf, the hare? So, again, I don't think it's definitely not proof. But and again, I don't know if we've ever heard She-Wolf before. Maybe it's just sticking out to me because we've heard it recently a bunch of chapters in succession. And I know Lyanna is like a thing that sticks out. But now I've kind of, at least for the next couple of weeks,
I would enjoy it more if it was Tyrion.
If Tyrion was a Targaryen?
Yeah, just because he's never been accepted by his Lannister family. If you just go like, actually, I'm not a Lannister, I'm a Targaryen, like, fuck you, I'm the heir now.
I think there's probably the most evidence for Tyrion, just because he actually mentions like having dragon dreams and stuff like that to Jon in book one. There's a lot of evidence of Tyrion being a Targaryen in book one that kind of diddles out, and that's why people think George has gotten away from that idea. But there's also a dream that Jaime has in book four when he's standing vigil over Tywin's body. He has a vision of his mom, and his mom shows up and is like, oh, your dad never got what he wanted. He always wanted a golden knight and a queen for a daughter. and he never got any of those things or something like that. And Jaime's like, what do you mean? I am a golden knight and Cersei is a queen. Yeah. And it's like she starts crying or something like that. And the question is like, oh, is it because they're not actually hers? I mean, there's a bunch of possible explanations.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm pointing out. Because
one of them is that Aegon fathered exactly. or Aerys fathered.
They're not, those two are actually not Tywin's. And the one that Tywin, again, it's one of the, like, the things. Did. That, couldn't you see George doing that? The one that he hates?
Yeah, I could, for sure.
And there's a part where...
the problem is, like, Tywin never comes to that truth.
Again, because this is, we know it's one of those things where shot. There's so many books, there's so much text that we have, right? And when I pull out just the evidence for one of the theories, it makes it kind of strong, right? But there's another part where Jaime's talking to his aunt. It's when he's going to Riverrun, trying to break the siege at Riverrun, and his aunt Jenna's there with Emmon Frey, I think, is her husband, who's supposed to take over Riverrun afterwards. But he basically says, like, I need to be like Tywin. And she's like, you were never Tywin. And he's like, your brother was always way more like Tywin than you were, right? And Tyrion even says that to Tywin when he kills him. He's like, you're no son of mine. And Tyrion says, I'm you writ small, right? So there's a lot of foreshadowing that like, again, I think it could go both ways. Tyrion could. There's a lot of evidence that Tyrion is a Targaryen, but there's also a lot of,
truth came out that Jaime and Cersei wasn't Tywin's and Tyrion was, I think that's too big of a bomb for Tywin to be dead for that to come out.
Yeah, we would need to see his reaction.
Like, you need to see his reaction to that.
Yeah, that's true. But it's also one of those things that I wonder if George kind of gives us more hints towards the fact that maybe all three of them are Targaryens, but never actually confirms anything. And then people just wonder about this forever. Because, like, we don't have to know, right? Like, But how do we even know? Like, Bran is the only way that we would ever figure it out, right?
Yeah. The other issue, Bran would time travel and Bran. The other problem would be if Cersei and Jaime were Targaryens, and what they actually did would never have been an issue because they're Targaryens. And then, you know.
What do you mean?
Joffrey wouldn't be an abomination because of...
The law that they made up that... It's just a law made up by Targaryens,
that they could still do it.
That was just a law made up by Targaryens.
I know, but it would. It's been accepted, so I would assume it would then make them acceptable.
Yeah. That was all I had. Let me just see. Let me check real quick. Yep, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Let's sign off then. Nice little quick one for
you. Yeah. We'll see you guys in the next one for Arya 5.
Arya 5. Bye. Let's get it. Bye.